Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mar Aleph. We are four lines from the top, where the words of Shemen al Gabe Yain. So again, we mentioned yesterday, we had a few questions about Egos Bekli, if you had a nut in a Kli that was going on water, whether that was considered a valid Akira, because it has to be something that's not in a state of rest, right? That's why the Gemara was saying water and water for sure is. That was the different Shailas that we discussed. And the Gemara continues now with a similar case. The Gemara says, Shemen al Gabe Yain. If you have oil that's floating on top of wine, and you bring it into a different rishus. So Rashi just points out, why don't we say oil on top of water? Because we're going to have to mention specifically wine, because water is not subject to truma, which is going to be the hemshech of the Mishnah that we're going to quote. So the Gemara says, because it's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. This is machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because we learn in the Mishnah in Tful Yom, shemen shetzaf al gabe yain. If you have oil which is floating on top of wine, that's truma. And now, v'nagat Tful Yom b'shemen, Tful Yom touched the oil and didn't touch the wine, lo pasal el ha-shemen, that he has only invalidated the oil. That is the shita of the Tanakam, which we're assuming now is the Rabbanah. Now, again, just a Tvul Yom is someone, let's say, who touches a sheretz, it goes to the mikvah. So he's going to be tar that night, but he still has to wait the rest of the day, even though he went to the mikvah. Same thing, someone who has a Zimunal Mission, someone who's a Shechvat Zerah, or has relations with his wife, something like that. They go to the mikvah, but they're not tar until that nightfall, until nighttime. So they're considered a Tvul Yom. Medaresa, a Tvul Yom, only passels Truma, it doesn't metame anything else. So it's, if it touches only the oil and doesn't touch the wine, so then he has only invalidated the oil according to the Tanakama, because it's assumed, we're going to assume that its two liquids are going to be separate. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omer Shneim, Chibur Zelazet. Both of them are going to be considered connected. And if you touch one, if you touch the Shemen, you have passed the wine as well of Truma. So he understands that fundamentally going to be considered one single entity. So now, according to this, the Rabbanan are going to consider two liquids. Rabbi Yochanan is considering it one. So the Rabbanan are going to compare the oil floating on wine to a nut floating on water, and therefore hold that you're going to be putter. Someone would be putter for lifting the oil on top of the wine, because they're not considered, there's no, Rashi points out, there's no hanacha, it's not considered resting. So therefore you don't have an akira from a place where it was resting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, however, he held that if you compare it to the case of the oil floating on the water to the case of water flowing on water, then they're considered resting. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would hold that you would in fact be chayav. Rabbi Yochanan just points out, it's interesting why the Gemara assumes that this dinam of Taharos has anything to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's considered one entity, but Hilchos Taharos is different. So he just points out, he's not sure why the Gemara assumes Avar Pasha. It says a Chiddush, but in a Chanami, that's what the Gemara suggests, that we're learning out from Taharos to Hilchos Shabbos. Just that Rashi also pointed out that we can't be discussing anything on Tvul Yom, because if you're just not discussing a Tvul Yom, you're discussing someone who's Mamish Tameh, then he'd for sure make the whole thing Tameh according to everyone, because he makes it the food of Rishon, the Shemen of Rishon, and the Rishon makes a Sheni by Truma. You can only be discussing a Tvul Yom because he only passels, he does not invalidate the thing that he's discussing with the Shemen. So that's why we have this Machlokas. Okay, the Gemara continues, Amar Abaye, Bor Bishus Rabbim Muka Asara Chava Shmona. We have a pit in the Rishus Rabbim in the public domain, which is again, there's a shear of 10 tfachim deep and 8 tfachim. So here you have 8 tfachim. Why is the Chiddush over here, right? Remember, you only need 4 tfachim. So now, Vizarak Latocha Machtzelas, someone threw a mat into this pit inside, and the mat now divided up the pit into two different domains. Chayav, you are just going to be, well, actually, we're going to discuss in a second. In this case, you just threw the mat into it, you would be chayav. However, chilkam achtzelas, so if the hidavka threw in a way which had divided the mat, the first case he didn't divide it, I got confused. The first case he just regularly threw it, then you'd be chayav because you threw from Rishus Rabbim to Shachan. Now, the second case of chilkam achtzelas, if you divided the pit when you threw it, and you, by meaning you're standing, davka, you put it directly in the middle of the pit, and it takes up some space, again, because you need a minimum of 4 tvachim. So here, you've had, let's say this thing takes up, let's say, a tefach. So now you have 3 tvachim on one side, 3 tvachim on the other, and this one thing in the middle. So then, according to Abaye, he says you're going to be putter. You're going to be putter because Abaye is learning out that when you put an object and you dafka at the same time, make it simultaneous. So like we mentioned yesterday, according to him, it's pashut that one would not be chayev. So now the Gemara is going to compare that to the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, which we had mentioned yesterday. The Gemara now says, La'abaye dipshita le demachtzelos mevat lemachitza. According to Abaye, who we see from here, that it's clear that the fact when you put the mat out there, you have therefore, you're mevata, you've nullified the wall, and therefore you've nullified the status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it's no longer Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Again, Rosh Hashanah Yachid needs to be 10 tefachim deep, but also 4 tefachim wide. And now you've made it less than 4 tefachim simultaneously when you put it out, according to Abaye, that's mevatel, kol shekein chulya de mevatel mechitza. According to him, then it'd be pashut that if you, in the situation where you put a little bit of the dirt on the bottom of the thing to make it less than the shear, then if you made it less than 10 tefachim, according to Abaye, it'd be pashut that you would in fact be, you would in fact be chayev. So now, you'd be putter rather. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Leichul Yahav, Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't sure about that case, so he put a little bit of dirt in the bottom of the pit. Machzelas pshita d'lamavat lemechitza. Then it would be clear, according to him, that a mat would not be mevatel, not nullify the Rishus Hayachid status. Why is that? Because according to the Rashba, he points out that because we're discussing it, why not? Meaning, according to Yochanan, why shouldn't it be mevatel? So apparently, the way the Rashba wants to make the Ukimta is that we're dealing with a case where the guy had not intended to leave the mat there forever. He was planning on, let's say, taking it the next day. He wants the plans to take it the next day. That's what the Rashba says. So therefore, according to Yochanan, why should it ruin the status? At the end of the day, it's something that's temporary. So therefore, we should still view it as an eight vachim. So then the question becomes on Abaye. Why would Abaye assume that it is mevatel? Because apparently, the Rashba points out that at the end of the day, you're putting it there, l'shem mechitza. It doesn't matter how long it's going to be there. So really they're arguing and whether something is there for less than a full amount of time. According to Abaye, you'd be chayav. According to Rava, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would assume that it would, according to Abaye, it would be pater. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be chayav. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Abaye." Abaye also continued. Bor b'shus Rabban mukas arochava arba malei amayim. So if you have a pit in the Rishus Rabban, which is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, it's full of water. Bizarak latocha, and someone threw. Rashi points out, you threw dafka and evan. Let's say you dafka threw or mayim. He says water or that because these things that if you throw, because Rashi is coming to point out that if you throw like an egos like we had before, which is not nach, then according to him, you would not in fact be chayev. So dafka threw a rock, let's say, chayev. In that situation, you'd be chayev for transferring because the pit is going to remain in its Rishus Hayachid status, even though it's filled with water. However, what if the pit is now filled with mleah peros zarach lezocha patar? If you had it was filled with if it was filled with fruits over here, and then you threw into this pit, you'd be exempt. You would not be chayev because the fact that the produce is in the pit, it's no longer going to consider 10 tefachim long. So the Gemara now says though, my time, what's the difference at the end of the day between water blocking up the pit and assuming that that's considered still 10 tefachim deep, even though we ignore the water, as opposed to the peros, which we don't ignore the peros, and we assume that you're pater. So Gemara answers because mayim lo mevat lemechitza, because water doesn't mevatel, doesn't nullify the fact that you have this drishus hayachid status. Why not? Doesn't really, the Gemara doesn't say, and the Gemara just assumes peros mevat lemechitza. So whereas when it comes to the produce, we do assume that has nullified the partition. So the Rishonim explain there's a few different shittos. We'll just go with one. Just the clarity is that one of them, the Magen Mishnah explains that really it's because the water's clear. So since the water is clear, it's still run Rishus Hayachid. You can see the whole thing. You see the fact that it's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. It doesn't matter that their water is clear, so therefore Paris, you can't see it. So the Achronim point out that according to this, if the water was in fact very dirty, that you couldn't see it, Lefi the Magen Mishnah, Hayasber the Gemara, you would in fact also be Pater, could be similar to Paris. And the same thing the Achronim point out, some Sofer thing points out, let's say it was glass, it was covered by, it was a glass which you could see through, then according to that, you would in fact be Chayav still, because you could see through it. If that's the whole getter, Lefi the Magen Mishnah's interesting interpretation. The Gemara says, now Tana Mahachi, within a Brisa Azorik Minayam, someone throws an object from the sea to a highway type of thing, which is a sea we know is a carmelis, right? We mentioned the Gemara in the Vav, and the highway is a Rosh Hashanah, a rabbin, but carmelis is only going to be chayav midarabanan. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Shimon, so the Gemara says that you're, sorry, so the Gemara says that you're pater. The Gemara says you're pater because only throwing from Rosh Hashanah Yachid Darabanan. Carmelis isn't a Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, so therefore throwing into Rosh Hashanah you would only be chayav midarabanan, not be daraisa. Rabbi Shimon, however, says, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Yesh Makom Shazar Amok Asar Chava Arba Chayav. Rabbi Shimon understands that if there is an area where there is, Rashi says, a guma, like it was like a hole in the sea where you were throwing it from, which was in fact 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, you would be chayav. So Rabbi Shimon over here is holding that you'd be chayav for throwing an object into a pit, even though the fact that the waters are covered, the waters are not going to be considered nullifying the thing. That's exact shita of Abaye, which again, but the Rishon pointed out, this is only Rabbi Shimon. At the end of the day, we usually pass like Tanakama against Rabbi Shimon. So many explain that maybe Rabbi Shimon, the Shimon is just coming to explain the Tanakama, or others say maybe the Tanakama fundamentally agrees with it. Whatever we want to say, the Gemara was clearly bringing a raya for Abaye, so it had somewhere you have to fit in the fact that either the Tanakama is going to agree to it some form or another to this shita of because we don't pass like Rav Shimon here, we pass like the Tanakhama, so we have to explain that the Tanakhama would agree to Rabbi's din as well. Okay, now we're going to continue. We're up to the next mission. Now we're discussing, again, Hemsheikh of things being thrown from different rishis. And where it says, Hazorek Arba Amos Bakotel, someone who throws an object, 4 amos in the public domain against a wall, then, Lamala Me'asara Tfachim, if it's above 10 tfachim from the ground, kizorik pa'avir, then it's as if he threw it above the air and you'd be potter. Lamata masara, but if it's below 10 tfachim from the ground, as we know, because Rishus Rabbim only extends up till 10 tfachim, so if you threw it below then, there's if you threw it on the ground, and you would therefore be chayav. Again, we discussed this much in the last daf, this whole inyun. Hazorik ba'aretz, arba amos chayav. Someone throws 4 amos in Rishus Rabbim, in general, is going to be chayav. And that's obvious, this is the only place in the Mishnah actually mentions it. This is a pasha din, but the Mishnah, this is the only case where the Mishnah mentions the case of someone who throwing something 4 amos is going to be chayav in the ground. And we're asked, so, question we've already seen 3 different times, we're assuming that if you something directly, exactly 4 amos, and it threw it, but pasha, it's going to fall back a little bit because I'm at a wall, and most objects, if you throw something against the wall, will at least come back at least a little bit. So then why should the guy be chayav? It didn't go 4 amos, it would fall back. So the Gemara says, Amar Biyochanan, Bitvela Shmeina Shaninu. As we mentioned yesterday, this din as well, that we're discussing a case, we're talking about a sticky fig cake, in which case it is going to stick to the wall and not bounce back, and therefore going to be chayav. Now the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Zarek Lamal Masara, V'halcha V'nacha B'chkor Kol Shehu. If someone threw an object from the Rishus Rabbim above 10 Fachim, and it went and it landed in a small hole in the wall, and now, again, the actual hole is 10 tefachim tall, but is less than 4 tefachim wide. Because had it been 4 tefachim wide, everyone would agree that you would be chayav, because then it's Rosh Hashanah Yachad. You threw from Rosh Hashanah, which is a chayav, everyone would agree you're going to be chayav. So here we're discussing where it's less than 4 tefachim wide. So now, bottom machlokas of Meir Banan, so to this, the Gemara says that this shayla is going to be taloy on the machlokas of Meir Banan in different contexts. Rabbi Meir damar chokin lahashlin. Rabbi Meir who holds that we carve in to complete. Meaning this is talking about if someone's going to carve in the necessary dimensions, we're going to explain it more in a moment, but just the basic definition, this is going to expand the halachic status of how wide something is, then we can say that it would be making it the shear. And therefore you'd be chayav. The Rabbanan Damrei in Chokin Lahashlin, the Rabbanan disagree with this principle that we do not carve out to complete, is not lo mechayav, is not going to be chayav. So what exactly is this machlokes? Okay, so the Gemara in Irvin tells us that we have a chiyav of mezuzah. We all know we have a chiyav of mezuzah to put it on the doorway of our houses. So that the halach over there is just like we have a shusar yachid for Inan Shabbos. That's actually the shear as well for the minimum shear of a mezuzah. That is that the entrance has to be at least 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. The question is, Rameir and Chacham have a machlokas, what about if you have a rounded arch on the top? If it's rounded on the top, so then obviously the height is 10 tefachim, but the top is less than 4 tefachim wide. So should we assume that the wall is considered tall enough and therefore it's good enough even if it's not 4 tefachim on the side, or is it a problem? So Rameir holds the Chokik and Lahashlim. He says that we carve at the top to complete the shear that you need, and therefore even though it's really, the walls are really, it's an archway, right? So you have walls on the top, it's hard to describe without a picture, but you see on the right and the left side of those, of the arch, there's still walls there. We use those part of the walls, ki'ilu, as if it's extending the shear of 4 tefachim wide, and therefore we hold that would be enough for the shear of mezuzah. The Chachamim disagree. They hold, no, we don't ain't chokim lahashlim, we don't carve out to complete the shear over there, so therefore it would be pater from shear of a mezuzah. So then, how does that translate over here? So when it comes to our case, when you have the small hole in the wall, which is less than 4 tefachim wide, so you can assume that according to Rav Meir, we would hold Chokin Lahashlim, that the small wall would extend past the 4 tefachim. We would view the small hole as if it's past the 4 tefachim because the wall that we're discussing, which is bordering Rosh Hashanah, is clearly going to have, it's going to clearly have more of a shear in the wall itself. So you can extend that shear of the wall itself to make it 4 tefachim, and therefore someone who threw from Rosh Hashanah into that would be chayav, even though you don't have the 4 tefachim shear. That's where Meir Shita and Chachamim disagree, and they would hold Ein Chokin Lahashlim, and therefore someone would be putter in that circumstance. So that is what the Gemara says right now. The Gemara fleshed out that according to Rabbanan, lo mechayev, and Rav Meir, you would be chayev. The Gemara says there's a beferish of Raisa that says this explicitly. Tanan Amehachu, we have a Raisa that says, Zarek lamala ma'asar v'alcha v'nacha b'chor kol shehu, that if someone threw an object from the Rishus Rabbim above 10 fachim and it went into a small hole in the wall of the Rishus HaRabbim, Rav Meir mechayev, Rav Meir holds it's going to be chayev because it's really a din of Rishus HaYachid, because it's only dependent thing of 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. V'chachamim potrim, chacham say that you're going to be exempt. Now the Gemara continues, Gemara says, Amar Avinu Marav, tell him, if you have this pile of dirt which is going to be 10 tfachim and 10 tfachim tall and within a span of 4 amos. We talk amos, so within a span of 4 amos, v'zark v'nachal gava, someone threw an object from Rishus Rabim and it landed on this, in the Rishus Rabim, this pile, then you would in fact be chayv. Why is that? Because when something is 10 tfachim high and has a steep incline, so then we're going to assume that it's going to get the status of Rishus HaYachid, because it's not something, usually things that are, if you have little cracks and things like that in the Rishus Rabim, we assume that all those things are considered a Rishus Rabim still. But here, since it's something that's low nicha tashmisha, it's something that people don't want there, because it's already 10 tfachim high, that's tall enough that people really don't want it, therefore we're going to view this thing as inconvenient, and therefore it's going to be viewed as a Rishus HaYachid. So then the Gemara is telling us that if you have this situation and you threw on that, you would in fact be chayav, because it's going to be nidon like the Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara, Rishus HaYachid rather. So now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Tana Mehachi, also learned in the Braisa, Mavoi Sheshavei L'Socha V'Nasem Madron L'Rishus HaRabim, that if you have a Mavoi that is leveled along its inside, but it's sloped down or it's towards the Rishus HaRabim, Oshavei L'Rishus HaRabim V'Nasem Madron L'Socha, or it was leveled in the Rishus HaRabim, it was leveled in the public domain, but it slopes down or it's towards the inside, also Mavoi Inutzorech Olechi Okoras. I mentioned that Mavoi is in an alleyway in which it has several different courtyards that combine together and lead into the Rishus HaRabim. So now if they are enclosed on three sides, then Midaraisa, a person is totally allowed to carry. However, they're abundant or phrase, the person would get the confused Rishus HaRabim. So therefore they made you have a Lechi or a Korah, right? Again, the Lechi is the post and the Korah is the crossbeam. You need to have one of those things to remind yourself that this is this area is a Rishus HaYachin, and we're going into, and the other area is Rishus HaRabim, and to remind yourself not to get confused between the two cases. So now, what about this situation where you have along this side, the light, that open side, you have this slope, so the Gemara is Mechadish over here, based on this Braisa, that you do not need any other thing to carry. You don't need anything else to carry, because that itself, the fact that it slopes and it have this different area, that itself is considered a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore that would make a barrier between that and the Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, you don't need a lechi or korah in that circumstance. The Gemara now continues. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer. So this is just a raya for that. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is not disagreeing with the Tanakama. He's just continuing. Tell him elaka asar mitoch arba, that if you have again a pile that it is 10 tefachim wide, 4 amos well, v'zarek v'nachal gabav chayav, that someone's going to be chayav because that has a Rishus HaYachid status. Again, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is not disputing at all the Tanakama. He is just clarifying what exactly how tall and steep does it need to be within that shear. It needs to be 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim wide. And everyone points out that he's not disagreeing with the previous shita. Very good. So now we're up to the next Mishnah. Continuing, again, throwing an object in 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Zarek l'soch arba amos. If someone who is standing in the Rishus HaRabim threw an object to a point which is 4 amos where he is standing. So then what happened was, v'nizgagel chotz arba amos, that it rolled, meaning Rashi points, it doesn't literally mean it was rolled, rather it was thrown by the wind to a point beyond 4 amos. Putter, you're going to be putter. However, because you didn't realize you threw out something that was 4 amos. However, what if you threw it chutz arba amos? You threw it beyond 4 amos, and it's galgal l'soch arba amos, but then it was again rolled here. Doesn't mean it was brought back. It was a heavy wind blowing the opposite direction of where you threw it. Then it came back within 4 amos, and in fact, you would be chayav. The Gemara is going to discuss this. The Gemara now says, discussing right away, the Gemara says v'halonach, but the object never came to rest outside of 4 amos. So why is the guy going to be chayav if it blows back in within 4 amos? The Gemara now says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'ushinach agabe mashehu." You have to assume that the Mishnah's ruling only is going to assume that if it actually did rest on a place a little that had the minimum shear, and Rashi just points out, because if the ruach kept it in the wind and kept it there and then brought it back, then if it was betoch gimel, then also as well you would be chayav. That's Rashi just pointed out. Bidas Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says, we have a Braisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Zarek chutz la arba amos. So someone is standing there, just rabbi, threw an object beyond 4 amos. Udachfu aruach vechniso afal pishachaz veotzio pater. That if the wind pushed back within 4 amos, even though the wind when he brought it back it brought it back out beyond 4 amos, it would be pater. However, achsos aruach, if the wind held the object briefly in place midair beyond the 4 amos, this is like Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that's what Rashi was saying, even though it went back to within 4 amos, you would in fact be chayav. Now the Gemara quotes another ruling in the name of Rava, which is similar to Rabbi Yochanan, number Rava toch shlosha. If an object was in 3 tefachim of the ground, even in that situation, you would need a shear of, you need to actually put it down for a moment according to Rabbanan. So now Rashi points out that this chiddush over here is twofold, that we're talking about, that Rava is telling us that we don't hold, the Rabbanan disagree with the principle of kluta even within 3 tefachim. That when you have the airspace of a thing, it doesn't view it as if it's nach in the, it's not as if it's situated already on the place below. So that already is a chiddush. And the second one, Rava is saying that even what's in three Tvachim and Agran, it's an extra chiddush over here, then we want to apply that principle. So then, or Rashi points out, Tunafka means that according to this, then Rabbi Akiva before that we said, where something goes in the Rishus Rabbim within three Tvachim from the ground, so in order to be Chayav, the Rabbana would have to assume that it have to pause at least. Like, that's the first chiddush, that's a little more obvious. The second one, though, is that in a situation where someone did something by accident, you throw something 4 amos in the Rishus Rabbim, and right before it landed, and it reached three Tvachim of the ground, you realize your mistake. So we pointed out the Mishnah, we're going to see this on the Daf Kof Beis, tells us, Rashi said this all in Rashi, that the fact that something that you do in Avera, you need to be unaware of it while the whole sin is happening. So if I remembered here before the sin had finished, according to this, Rava would assume that you are going to be Patra because you already realized at that point that you had made a mistake and therefore you're not going to be Chayav Achatas. So now the Gemara now says, though, but why does Rava need to tell this? Lav Hanu Mas Nisin, V'yamar Yochan Uvushnach Agave Mashu. But why do you need Rava's Chiddush Bechlal? This is just the way that we had a question in the Mishnah which told us if someone threw an object before Amos and was tossed back with the farm, it's going to be Chayav. And Rabbi Yochanan explained that Dafka, this had to rest on a thing that was a minimum shear. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan wanted to assume, like, the other way that Rava was telling us not to hold, like, that if something passed within three Tvachim on the ground, he would have told us that. That Rabbi Yochanan would have much less of a thing to Chiddush to say that if the object passed within three Tvachim on the ground and it's halachically considered as if it rested there, then Rabbi Yochanan would tell us that that was the case of the Mishnah. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't mention that this was the case, then clearly Rabbi Yochanan holds that it has to actually rest briefly. In which case, Rava is now repetitive, that we don't need Rava anymore at all. So the Gemara answers, Amalem is Gaga Kamar. So we're talking about a case where it literally, again, rolled, but it means it blew away. So that's different, because Misgagal ain't Safal Anuach. When something is within the wind, it's not going to come to rest on the ground beneath it, because it passes through the three tefach on the ground. You understand that it's not going to consider resting unless it pauses briefly, because that situation was blown by the wind. However, in the case of Rava, you need the chiddush of Rava came in the sofa lanuach, since it's really going to come to rest in the area beneath it. Then I would have thought avagav delunach kamadanach tami halachically, even though in that situation it's fundamentally different than the case of the wind, and therefore I would have thought in this case that is going to be considered enough to assume that it would be a considered hanacha and yivichayev kamashman. Therefore, Rava does in fact need to teach you that in this case is different, and therefore something that needs to actually pause and tell you that you actually need a hanacha, like the case of Riochanan, because the case of Riochanan would have been derived from the case of Rava. Okay, so now we're going to discuss how do we view the status of a sea. So the Mishnah tells us, Hazorik Biyam Arba Amos Pater. Someone who throws an object 4 amos in the ocean is going to be Pater. So why is that? Because why don't we assume that a ocean is a Rishus HaRabin? There's a lot of people who travel there. So the Magen Avraham explains that apparently, since it's something that's it's comparably, it's much harder to travel in the sea than it is on the road, therefore you can't consider Shabbat. Even if a ton of people travel, even if there are boats all the time, we never going to consider Shabbat. Others explain, no, it was never similar the way they camped in the Midbar. And the Zeres HaKosa would tell you that whatever the reason is, the Mishnah clearly is telling you from the fact that you're Pater, it's not considered Rishus Rabbim de Oreisa. Just Rabbi Yashar just quotes that many Achronim and people ask, the Rishonim ask already, why isn't it considered a Rishus Hayachid? At the end of the day, it's 10 Tvachim deep, and it's surrounded by the shoreline on all the sides. So therefore, it should be Rishus Hayachid. So Rabbi Yashar quotes two different answers. He quotes a Tosfos in Irvin that says that a mechitza that's in a asa b'di adam, that's not considered a mechitza. So that would not be halachically the fact that you have the shoreline doesn't help you, and therefore it's not considered Rishus Hayachid fully. And the Ritva in Irvin explains now that in a mechitza is the person has to understand that he feels them. So if I'm in the ocean, I have no idea where this shoreline is going to be necessarily. Therefore, you can't consider the whole entire ocean a Rishus Hayachid. Interesting thing, why it has this middle status. And the Gemara says imaya rakak b'mayim Rishus Rabbi halachas. But let's say you have a little swamp or a little bit of a small, shallow amount of water, and the Rishus HaRabim goes through it. So here it's just literally means a swamp, but probably talking about just like a little puddle. And the Rishus HaRabim goes through it. Hazorik l'such arba amos chayev. Someone who throws an object at a distance of 4 amos is in fact going to be chayev. So because we're going to assume it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. Kami yirakak mayim. How much does this little amount of water have to be in a little shallow amount of water? So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, pachos b'sar tefachim has to be less than 10 tefachim deep. As long as it's that, then it's going to be considered a Rishus HaRabim. However, it's 10 tefachim deep already, then it would have a status of Rishus of a Carmelist, Rashi points out. So then, Rakak Mayim Rishus Rabbim Alechas, but if you have this small amount of water and the Rishus Rabbim is passing through it, Hazorik Basuch Aramabas is going to be Chayav. Someone who throws an object, 4 amos is going to be Chayav. So now the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah. Says, Amr Lehumer Rabbanan Rabba. So one of the Rabbanan asked Rabba the following question. I get it. The Mishnah told us the Chiddush of, it's usually the lashon of passing through the pool two different times, because there's two different chidushim here. Kamash malan, hiluch haydeh chak shmei hiluch, that when something is inconvenient to go through, it's still going to be considered halachically, it's considered part of the rishus harabim. However, and then the second chidush of mentioning it again is tashmish chak loyot shmei tashmish, but something, when you use something inconveniently, that's not considered, an area is not going to be considered rishus harabim. So therefore, our Mishnah is teaching us that it's really going to depend on the use by the public. If the public doesn't regularly pass through the pool, it's not going to be considered rishus harabim. If they do regularly pass through it, it's going to be treated as rishus rabim, even though it's inconvenient. And then the second case is going to be teaching us that if a person is not doing it for its own sake, but for meaning if a person is walking through the pool, it's going to be telling us that that area is going to be rishus rabim, even if it's it would not be inconvenient of an area of the public. It's going to be considered not part of the rishus rabim. That's the two chiddushim over here. So the Gemara says that, but what's the chiddush of ella rakak tri zimin lamali? But why does the Mishnah have to tell you that we have to say that the shallow pool two different times with the case of the small amount of water? What's the difference? What's the chiddush? I have to tell you two different times. That Mishnah could have just used a different example of something that's inconvenient to go through. So the Gemara says that Rava answers. No, I need to teach you this chiddush to tell you that the inconvenience is still going to be rishus rabim both in the wintertime and in the summertime. It's really, I need to tell you both cases. Why the ilo tanachada have a mina hani mila basacham? So if you only told me the summer case in the Mishnah and you don't tell me the winter case, then I would have said that it's only the summer case that vidi anin shenemitzgele according to nafshay. People like to cool themselves, they're going to walk through. You know, people like to go through, get a little bit colder. It's 100 degrees outside, so they'll walk through this little shallow pool of 9 tefachim deep. No one's going to walk through it during the winter. It's cold anyway. You're going to get your feet all wet. You're even wearing sandals. You're going to get cold. So therefore, no one would walk through. Therefore, you have to mention both cases of the summer and the winter. But I didn't just mention the winter, you'll say, Kolchik in the summer. Then it's the other way. No, anyway, it's raining, it's dirty, it's muddy. You don't care if your shoes get dirty. So therefore, you're going to walk through the water anyway if it's annoying. There's a lot of people on the sides of you. However, but in the summer months, when clothing is not dirty because it's not raining, it's not muddy in the streets, so then people would avoid getting dirty. So then I would have thought only in the winter months, and not in the summer months is the din of Rishus Rabim. So therefore, you have to teach you that in both cases, it's going to have the status of Rishus Rabim. So now the Gemara is going to mention two more explanations, and the Rishonim explain that these aren't arguments that they all agree with why the Mishnah mentions both. So this is only the case where the pool is not 4 amos wide. So then I would have thought, where it is 4 amos wide, the public goes around it, meaning rather than going through it, so therefore I would have thought that it's not going to be Rishus Rabim. So the Mishnah is therefore teaches us that even the pool 4 amos is going to be considered Rishus Rabim, even though people are going over it, because some people might walk through anyway, Rashi points out, so that's what the Chiddush is over here. Now the third explanation, Rav Ashi says, this is a Chiddush of where the pool is 4 tefachim wide, making it likely people have to walk through the pool rather than jump over it. So the Gemara says, so they wouldn't be able to walk through, they would have to jump over it. But where the pool is not 4 tefachim, people step in it rather than walk through it, then I would have thought maybe it's not going to be considered necessarily a Rishus Rabim. And even if it's less than 4 tefachim, it would be treated as a Rishus Rabim. So therefore, you need to teach me that it would be the Chiddush over there. So the Gemara now says, V'azur Ravashi L'taymeh. And Ravashi is Lashitoso. He explains, because he explained in different context, something that would line up with what he says over here. Damar Ravashi, because Ravashi says, someone who throws an object that lands on an isolated beam on the bridge, then you would be chayav sharei rabim boki babi, because people will sometimes jump over that plank. The public would go, since they pass through it, most people wouldn't go on it. However, since some people go through it, or many people will, then it still has the status of Rishus Rabim. We're discussing over here the bridge was 16 amos wide, which is the status of Rishus Rabim. As I mentioned, that's the shear of Rishus Rabim, yesterday's daf. So we're saying over here that you have a plank, Rashi points out, that if you have the beam that's across the bridge width, but it's set apart from the other one, so people don't go on it because they're afraid it might fall off. But since enough people go on it, Rashi says, enough people go on the step on it anyway, and therefore it's going to remain the status of the Rishus Rabim. Very good. So now the next Mishnah says, is going to be putter. So someone throws an object from the sea to dry land, or from dry land to the sea, or from the sea to a ship, from the ship to the sea. There's all those cases, or from one ship to another. All those cases, you are going to be putter, as mentioned before, because none of the din of this karmelis is not a rishus harabim de oraisa, not a rishus yochid de oraisa. Now, what happens if you have svinos kshuas ubazum? You had ships that were tied together and without any gap between them. So your person would be allowed to carry the objects from the ship to that ship. However, they're not tied together. They were close together and there was no gap between them. In Metatlam Mezulazu, you're not allowed to carry objects from this one to that one, because at the end of the day, we're afraid, Rashi points out, that they're gonna come to drift apart, and in which case, it's gonna have a problem of a carmelist without an Erev, and therefore you don't need a problem to carry there. So the Morna says, Itmar. We learn Sfina when it comes to a ship, Ravuna Mar Motinim in Aziz Kol Shu Mimala, that if you have even the smallest like type of rad thing from the ship, and therefore you could fill a bucket with water and bring it on the ship. Rav Chista Rabba Ravuna Amre Osa Malkum Arba Mimala. So the Rabba and Rav Chista, they argue, they said, no, you have to make an enclosed area of four tefachim wide, and then create a Rishus Yachid, and then fill the bucket through that place. So they're more machmir, so you have to have a full fledged Rishus Yachid, and therefore you would have walls, and therefore you would consider a Rishus Yachid drawing from Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara says, what's the sort of machlokes? The Gemara says, Ravuna Amar Motihim in Aziz Kol Shu Mimale. Why? Because Sever Karmelis Ma'ar Mashchina. So Rav Huna holds that he is holding that the 10th Fakhim of the Karmelis is measured from the floor of the ocean. The Avira Makam Turu, and the air above the 10th Fakhim is considered a Makam Tur, and therefore the water taken from the surface being lifted is from Makam Tur, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Vedinu, this is not Mila Abaya. You don't even need at all, even this small little rod. I don't need anything. So why do I require to have this rod according to Rav Huna? Now, the Gemara says, because Ela Ki Heichid L'Avi Le'Akira, the rabbi has said this in order that you should have a reminder. In which case to know that it's usher in general to carry from a karbalis to a rishus hayachid. So now the Gemara quotes the second sheet of Rav Chista Rav Huna Amre. They said osher makom arba mala, that you dafka need to make an area for tefachim to create this rishus hayachid, because they hold kasever karbalis masavas maya mashchina. They told that the 10th fachim of a karbalis is actually measured from the water surface maya aris michisa, and therefore the entire body of water is like basically going to be like this ground, which is a thick ground. And therefore, I have the status of Rishus Hayach, of a Karmelis, rather. Ilo Avin Makam Arba, and if a person doesn't make the enclosed area for a four tefachim wide through the water, then Kametat Makarmelis Rishus Hayach, then a person would be carrying from a Karmelis Rishus Hayach. Therefore, they have the formal din of having the four tefachim to create Rishus Hayach. Otherwise, it's not just a heker like Rav Huna wanted to tie it. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Huna, Gemara says, Amar the Rav Nachman, the Rabba Ravua, Rav Huna the Amar Motzi Yemin Aziz Kol Shem Emale. We have a question though. Zimnin the Leka Asar, there are times we're not going to be 10 tefachim in the water, the area of the ship is passing, and Kametat Makarmelis Rishus Hayach. Because if you assume, let's say you have only 7 tefachim deep area, so then the whole thing is going to be a status of a karmelis, and therefore you're not taking it from a makom tur, you're taking it from a karmelis, which is full fledged carrying. So why would you allow you only to have a small rat? The Gemara is a kasha in this. The Gemara says Amar Leis. So Rabbi Ravus answers. He says because Gamina Dein Sfina Malachas Bechos Asar. Because Rav Huna was Davka talking about a big ship, and this Rashi points. The Rashi points that the Sfina is a ship. Is talking about a big ship, not a small one. So Rav Huna is telling us. That we assume that the ship doesn't travel less than 10 tefachim because he's only talking about the area of a large ship, in which case those always are deeper waters than 10 tefachim itself. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, "V'ha morsha yisplay," but at the end of the day, there's a protrusion so that rises out of the water, which extends forward for the rest of the ship. So therefore, we were going to assume that it is maybe an area of less than tefachim deep. So the Gemara says, "Amar lei Rav Safar." Rav Safar answered this. He says, "G'shoshe azle kamer," that the people who measure the depth of the water, they have these long poles they're going to go before the ship to make sure that the water is at least 10 tefachim deep in order for them to travel. So now the Gemara asks on Rav Chista, "Amar lei Nachman Rav Chista." And how is a person ever going to throw out his waste if he has garbage or anything like that? You're not allowed to throw it overboard because this would be a problem of transferring from a shusayachin to a karmelis. You're going to assume that you poured out the water and the waste in that area, bring it up with fresh flesh that can't be, because ma'isle, that's going to be disgusting with if you want to use that same water, that area that you're drawing the water from. So Gemara says, that you pour it out from the water in the outer ship, and right onto the sea, that therefore you can pour it out far away. The Gemara says Va'ika Chokla, but if a person's doing it in that circumstance, he's doing it out through his koach, his force, even though it's indirect, it's still going to be considered that you've done this action on Shabbos. The Gemara says you're right. Normally that's the din. However, we're talking about a karmelis over here, which is only a din to Rabbanan. So therefore, Chokla to karmelis lo gazu. And in this circumstance, the Rabbanan said that the decree when it comes to the karmelis, we're not going to assume it is a problem over here, and there it's going to be that would not be an issue. Okay, I'll pick up Mishnah when a timber. How do we get this din? Mishnah will pick up with this tomorrow.